It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I am joined by U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, who is in Pittsburgh making some campaign stops on behalf of Hillary Clinton, separate from his duties, obviously, as the Secretary of Agriculture. Mr. Vilsack is a Pittsburgh native, former governor of Iowa, and the longest-serving member of the Obama administration, now in his eighth year as U.S. Agriculture Secretary. He joins me now. Secretary Vilsack, welcome to the program.
Paul, it's good to be back with you.
What is the most pressing issue facing the USDA and the agriculture industry, and how is it being addressed?
I think low prices and the ability to get young people into the farming business and deal with expanding opportunity with local and regional food systems and looking at commodity prices and making sure that we are getting young people into the farming business.
I want to talk about genetically modified organism labeling. Vermont's law mandating GMO labeling takes effect this summer. They would be the first state in the nation to do so. Already some companies have said they would start GMO labeling. We've looked at it here in Pennsylvania. The legislature did a couple of years ago, but never voted on it. The U.S. House, meanwhile, has approved and sent to the Senate legislation that would prohibit the nation from requiring GMO labeling. This bill would also prohibit states from enacting their own GMO labeling laws. So Vermont's law would be nullified if the Senate passes this bill. 64 countries have already adopted mandatory GMO labeling laws. Why not the U.S.?
Well, I think that, frankly, there is an opportunity here for us to provide appropriate disclosure and information to consumers that want that information, but to do it in a way that doesn't necessarily send the wrong impression or create the wrong impression about the safety of the product. The reality is, in the U.S., we label for nutrition and we label for known risk. And GMO is a process. It's a way in which the food was produced. But I do think we could create a way in which information could be available with an extended barcode, with a QR code. Your smartphone or a scanner could provide you all the information about GMO, non-GMO, and any other information that consumers want. We have to make sure that we have a system that's flexible enough to be able to address the concerns and issues as they crop up by consumers, because consumers are quite interested in making sure that they know precisely where their food comes from and what's in their food. So I think we have to respect that, and I think we have to, and I have suggested that we need a mandatory program. I don't necessarily agree with the House approach, and just today I had an opportunity to visit with Senator Roberts about the necessity of the Senate actually taking action that creates that opportunity of balancing right to know with making sure we don't send the wrong impression about the safety of our food.
Blight has been a problem for Pennsylvania farmers in recent years, but also in several other states, including New York, Maryland, Wisconsin, to name a few. What is the USDA doing to address the problem of blight?
Well, there are a couple of things. Number one, obviously, additional research. And there is, I think, the need for robust investment in research and innovation into issues that impact and affect crop production, productivity of our crops and animals. I think it's important to continue to research it. Secondly, to the extent that there are damages and losses, there are insurance programs, there are crop insurance programs, there are also disaster programs that are available and assistance from the federal government. So if you've got a problem, we try to help you get through the financial consequences of that. But in the end of the day, it's better if we try to prevent that problem to begin with. You do that through research.
Earlier this month, your department announced more money available for research to mitigate pests and improve crop protection and enhance production. How does this fit into your integrated pest management roadmap, and what are the most dangerous pests to agriculture?
It depends, Paul, where you are, and I think it's important to understand that we're dealing with a number of different products that are raised in this country, and depending upon what region you are from, you are faced with different challenges. If, for example, you're down in Florida in the citrus area, you are dealing with citrus greening, which is causing a devastating impact on citrus production in Florida. If you're in California, you might be concerned about something that might affect the grapevines for the wine industry. Here in Pennsylvania, you're probably deeply concerned about the possible reemergence of avian influenza that could impact and affect your chickens and hens and turkeys, all of which could potentially impact the bottom line for producers. There's a significant amount of dairy, so obviously you're also interested in anything that might impact and affect and reduce dairy production. There's a lot of fruit and vegetable, a lot of specialty crop, and there are a multitude of pests and diseases that can impact and affect an apple crop or other specialty crop. So the key here is having research. The key is making sure that we can eradicate or contain diseases and pests to the extent possible. That does require resources, and it requires a commitment, and that's why the president in his budget has asked for additional resources.
Secretary Vilsack, you've been designated by President Obama to address the problem of heroin and other opiate use in rural communities. It's a big problem here in western Pennsylvania. What policy solutions have you been working on to address it?
There are a number of steps that are being taken and need to continue to be taken. One is to make sure that prescribers are well trained in terms of how and when to use pain medications and what the proper level, number of pills should be prescribed for particular conditions. The CDC just recently put out a series of guidance that gives a better direction, a clearer direction. Secondly, states need to continue to monitor to avoid doctor shopping of individuals who live particularly in border communities, being able to do business with doctors in several different states and then getting multiple prescriptions. To the extent that you've got a monitoring program, you have to make sure that it can communicate with adjoining states' monitoring programs. In rural areas in particular, and Hillary understands this and has called for additional resources into medication-assisted treatment and mental health clinics and behavioral service centers, to be able to provide the ability for people to be tapered down and off their addiction, to have specialists that can counsel with them, and also to engage the community in making sure that there's adequate recovery support from the community. My mom dealt with this in terms of addiction, and I can tell you she had a lot of willpower, she had a lot of faith. She could not do this alone. She needed help. And in many rural areas, if that help is not available today, we need to make sure in the future it is available.
And you just talked about this, and you also spoke before a group of folks here at a private home here in Washington, Pennsylvania. How does being the child of an alcoholic inform what you bring to the discussion on substance abuse?
There are a couple of things. First of all, I think it's important for us not to judge people with addictions. I think there's a tendency to think that it's a character flaw or it's a situation where someone through willpower alone can basically turn their life around. My mom's experience, I think, was not so much different from everyone else's situation, where she was faced with a tough decision. But in order for her to turn her life around, in order for our family to be reunited, she had to have help. She had to have a 30-day program of intense focus to get her headed in a different direction. She needed AA meetings on a constant basis. In many of our rural areas, that professional help is not available, and those AA meetings are not being held, just simply because there aren't places to hold them. You can use telemedicine. You can use technology to get the specialist into these remote rural areas that perhaps don't have enough people to support a full-time clinic, but could be connected to a full-time clinic through broadband and expanding the kind of community support that's necessary. So I think understanding what my mom went through and seeing that it's a very typical circumstance of how you turn your life around, you got to have that support. And I think it made me very focused on making sure that we're using all the tools of the federal government and making sure that in the future that we build on the foundation that President Obama's establishing.
You are in Western Pennsylvania, stumping for Hillary Clinton, going into next week's primary. Talk about why your own efforts into supporting Hillary Clinton is so important to you.
Well, I've got four grandkids, and I care deeply about their future. And I recognize and appreciate the next president of the United States is going to have a profound impact on their future. I want a president, as a Democrat, obviously, who's tested and tough enough to win a general election. And I have no question in my mind from Secretary Clinton's prior experiences in this field of running for president, having her husband run for president, that she's tough and she's tested. I also want a president that's smart and wise enough to govern effectively. I have worked with Hillary Clinton in a variety of capacities. I know that she is smart, and I know that she has had experience in putting a government together, and I know that she's going to get the right people to help her make the right set of decisions. I've seen this in terms of her work in a variety of different places, not the least of which was her work on health care, which during her time as First Lady, my time as governor, we saw an expansion of health care services for children. And it made a profound difference in the lives of children in my state because of that opportunity that she helped make. I want a president who's practical but progressive. You know, I think great ideas and big ideas are wonderful to talk about, but at the end of the day, if you're going to make people's lives better, you actually have to get things done. And there's no question that Hillary Clinton has a record of getting things done. She knows how to get things done. She has the relationships both in Congress and around the world that will allow her to be ready to do the job of president from the very first day. And then finally, I think it's important that I hope a lot of people in Western Pennsylvania feel the same way. I want a president that's sensitive enough to care about the problems that are really impacting families. I like the idea that Hillary has a very aggressive and progressive plan to reduce pharmaceutical costs because a lot of senior citizens, a lot of families are struggling with these drug costs that are just out of control. She has a very specific plan to get that under control by limiting the amount of advertising and the benefits that companies get from advertising, spending money not on research and innovation instead of, you know, spending money there instead of on advertising. She has a program to limit the out-of-pocket expenses. If you can limit the out-of-pocket expense for a family to $250 a year, that means they're going to have a little extra cash to take care of putting money aside for college or being able to pay the rent or whatever their tight budget might require. This is, I think, incredibly important, and I believe that she has the sort of the combination of all the characteristics that I'm looking for from the inside. As I watch how people manage the presidency, it's a tough job. It's a really tough job, and I have no doubt she is the best prepared and most experienced person to take that job on.
One last question for you. A lot of people say that Bernie Sanders has moved Hillary Clinton to the left. When you hear that, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe that Secretary Clinton has been moved by Bernie Sanders. I think what Secretary Clinton, the motivation and what moves Secretary Clinton is the stories that she hears on the campaign trail. When she heard stories of families that were being torn apart by addiction, she responded. When she dealt with families that are struggling financially, she saw ways of increasing wages and increasing job opportunities. When she heard about senior citizens having to choose between prescription drug costs and paying the rent and the heating bill, she came up with a program to try to contain and restrict what drug companies do with their money so that we don't necessarily have to pay these exorbitant costs. So it seems to me that she understands, she listens, and then she tries to formulate policies that are practical, that are doable, that are actually going to get done. You know, I said earlier today, with due respect to Senator Sanders, that I think Saturday Night Live did a better job of explaining his breaking up the big banks idea than he has. And, you know, that concerns me. His Daily News interview on the foreign policy questions, which are absolutely essential for the next president to be able to answer from the get-go, he had a hard time. He hasn't had the experience. He hasn't been involved in setting up a White House. It is a big job, and you got to be ready from day one to do that job. Hillary is.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, a Pittsburgh native, joining us. Thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to be back.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.